What is up, Miami?
To everyone listening from afar through the broadcast, we apologize ahead of time if this audio quality is horrible. There is no way for me to tell if it is or not. There's a little less than 100 of us here in Miami in person, having a great time, kicking back some beers in the anniversary of Executive Order 6102 when FDR tried to steal all the grandparents' gold and Satoshi's symbolic birthday. So they are our priority, and if this broadcast doesn't come out with good quality, I will try and upload a better quality one afterwards. So with all that said, I think this is our first ever, it is our first ever real in-person dispatch. Last year in Miami, we did one in our penthouse Airbnb because we thought it was going to be 200K by conference day. It didn't happen. But this one we actually made happen, tried to make it as legit as possible. I want to thank Ross for putting this all together. He was really fucking awesome, and he came to me and he was like, "We're doing Big Devs Miami. We got Jay coming to town, and we'd love to see that dispatch opened up." I really could not have happened without him, so cheers to him. With all that said, I mean, we have our great guests here. All of them are return guests on Silver Dispatch. We got MBK. How's it going, MBK?
Hey. Hi.
Can you?
Oh, it's.
Is it working?
Yeah.
Just speak loudly.
Yeah. So, yeah. Hey, nice to be here. It's like Bitcoin Twitter.
Thanks, MBK. We got our good friend Evan here, Evan Kloudis. What's up, Evan?
Hey, y'all. How's everyone doing today?
Thanks, Evan. You want to go? What are you saying?
I just want to say, you know, it's been awesome seeing the show grow over the last year. Hat tip to Matt for putting out high quality signal every week. Just humbled and honored to be a little part of it.
Thanks, man. That means a lot. And thanks to all the freaks that made this possible, and especially our constant return guest. Paul, how's it going?
Hello, thank you for having me.
We got Paul Miller here. What's up, Paul? And now we have Tony. How's it going, Tony Giorgio?
Hey, how's it going, man? Happy to be here. Again, on Sit Down Dispatch. Always love, you know, just having with Matt the whole time, so it's always great.
Fuck yeah.
You know, we became friends from Sit Down Dispatch chat.
Really?
Yeah.
Because
he was chatting and I was on an episode and I was like, I like this, the way this guy thinks.
The cut of his jib.
I like the cut of his jib.
And now you guys are just constantly working together, right?
Look at this guy's jib.
So where do we want to start? What do you guys want to talk about? I have a pretty open-ended. I was thinking, we only have an hour. I was like, kind of wanted to make it a little bit juicy. And we have MBK here and we have Paul here. Should we have a little conversation about open source licenses?
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess to get started, why don't you go through MBK, your thoughts for the change in Cold Card's open source license, and then we'll have one of these guys jump in.
Yeah, so I think what happened with us is that we realized that the business is as important to the security of the device as the software and the device itself. So you cannot make like really secure hardware without having a profitable business, right? And CoinKite has always been sort of like, it's a lifestyle business for us. We do it because we want to. And we figured out that unless you have the rotating revenue and capital to invest in, you know, security research, and you have like real equipment, and you have like, you have to have like very large orders of manufacturers so you get the good stuff that's under NDA from the manufacturers of the chips, because you want to know all those little flaws. And to do that is very hard when you have very turnkey cloners, right? You can have somebody, you know, sort of contribute to your cold base, that'll be great. But when people just take and don't give, it makes it so that it's very hard to have a business around it. And, you know, we, for us, it's more important to have a secure device that than it is for us to have something that is like pure on the license base.
So let's just unpack that a little bit. To the people who don't know what the controversy is, ColdCard was historically a free open source license that was non-restrictive. Anyone can modify it. Anyone can change the code. They can they can add to it. They can distribute it. They can sell it. They can do whatever the hell they wanted to do with it. And then this company, Foundation Devices, came out. MVK didn't want to mention it by name, but I just did. And they took that code base and they raised a bunch of VC money off of it before they even shipped anything. And then MVK changed his license to a more restricted license that was not free and open source, that was source viewable, that basically allows people to modify it, but they can't distribute and sell it.
Yeah, so it's even more permissive than that. So what we had is actually an extremely restrictive license, copyleft, right? You're restricted to have the left, like that license has to survive, right? So that means that anybody who copied that source code needs to make it public again.
It was specifically GPL, right?
It's specifically GPL. And funny enough, you actually require the state to enforce that license. So it's very non-libertarian. And funny enough, Satoshi chose, in my opinion, MIT, because you can build a business on top of MIT and you can have that code base inside your code base and do whatever you want. So, you know, in my opinion, truly FOSS is MIT, right? GPL is a complicated license that is a product of its time. I think it's about the same. Anyways, so it's important that, you know, you have to essentially like be honest about the fact that like if there is people contributing, it's great. But we were essentially a single source code, right? Meaning we pay people ourselves to write that source code. You know, we have like a contributor here and there, but you know, 99% of the source code is ours. So it's not like a community project. It's not like you're just converting the work of a lot of people into a new license and sort of screwing out. There is no rug pull. It's just ours. So much so that we were allowed to do that change. Anyways, so that's where it stands. We just don't want to be in the same position that a lot of open source projects are, where the only people who reap the benefit are, say, Amazon, Google, and the developers are then left sort of like begging for money. And you know, it's just not something I'm for.
So how could a business be competitive with your business if you were using the same open source code base? If you're saying that your business model doesn't work if anybody can easily clone you, how does their business model work? How does anybody, nobody making any money?
So, you know, hardware is hard, right? So there's like hard sort of like science involved and like very sort of, it's a much larger upfront investment in code that you'd normally find in standard software projects, right? And we lose in different ways. For example, there's the affinity scamming, right? Where said cloner will go on podcast and say, hey, this is as secure as this other device, right? This is as good. And then they fuck up. And then people think that because they have the same code as we do, you know what I mean? Now we have a problem too. So for example, this device that's a cloner is using a pound secure element, right? There's not a lot of information out yet because everybody's under NDA, but everybody has moved on, for example, from the secure element version. They haven't because they don't have inventory of the new secure chip, right? But now, again, it's just saying, hey, but we are the same security architecture, right? So there is the issue with that. And then there's the issue of like chipping away from our market, right? From the product that we built, the brand that we built, and all the effort that we put into this. I just, I don't, it's not my spirit to stand for that.
So I guess my main two objections are, the first one is the idea that I'm going to have the state solve this, which is any license that's at all restricted.
That's GPL. It's GPL, the state.
All licensing
okay.
is saying that the state is going to solve it.
Sure.
Other than fully permissive. But then the other side would be, from a security standpoint, I feel like I would be reticent to look at your code based on how you have talked about people who have copy-pasted your code.
Yeah.
And I was like, oops, I was browsing through here to check your
yep.
security. My finger slipped. I hit Command-C, and now I've got one of your functions in my code base, and you're going to, like, drag me.
We don't care. So our license,
that's one hell of a finger slip.
Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of funny because they use the code that we wrote 100% on their marketing material as a picture. It's kind of hilarious.
The comments are changed.
Yeah, the comments were changed. A lot of people pick up on that. But the point is this, most people are not, like, it kind of sucks, but they're not qualified to review this kind of security level.
Yeah.
There's like very few people that can. What we need is people to review that is building, right?
What you need is the rewrite of Rust.
The what?
You need the rewrite of Rust.
Right, exactly. Rust is a shit word. So all licenses are state-based, of course, right? Otherwise, like, you know, if you go back to, if you don't go back to proper libertarian principles, you'd say the way to resolve that is by having trade secrets. You cannot have trade secrets in open source by definition, right? So those two things are kind of still incompatible. We don't have a good answer for that. The other thing is, you know, raising VC on top of somebody else's code is also fiat, right? It's also based in the same system that licenses are based on, violence, whatever you want to call it. So, you know, in a world in which I can build my thing and there isn't VCs available for a cloner to go shop around my stuff, it's cool. We tried. That was the goal. We're going to try to make this that way. It didn't work, so we switched it, right? We're a defensive company. We will behave defensively, right? And I guess, like, another... So there really is, it's the issue with the VCs that will just willy-nilly sort of, you know, invest in a company like that, probably because they didn't even know that it was essentially clone source code. And we actually put out an extremely permissive license. It's extremely permissive. You can do whatever you want to the code. You can copy, you can sell it, you can do whatever you want. You just cannot build a cloning company. That's the only restriction.
Yeah, what is it specifically? You can't make a commercial product out of it?
Exactly. That's it.
So you can sell it.
You can sell it. No, you can sell yours. So you as the user is protected.
What do you mean you can sell yours?
Your unit,
yeah.
Right? It's your property.
Oh, like you can sell your individual code?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
You just can't start a competing...
Thanks.
Hey, you only bought one. Right? You only bought one.
Well, I mean, I lost all my Bitcoin in the treasure phishing hack. Anyway, I don't use your devices. So, I mean, you guys are all major proponents of free open source software. Do you not have any comments for NBK? Is he in the right here? Is he?
Yeah, I mean, like at the end of the day, like we're all kind of LARPers in a way. Like We're running, we're using like open source money, right? And permission, like we don't need the state permission, right? But then we all kind of turn around and we like all have permission, like government permission based companies. So like at the end of the day, like what Paul said, you know, we are asking the state to enforce licenses, basically.
Yep.
That's just kind of the reality of the situation right now. Like if you want to, like honestly, I would be all for like. And on out there, just like ripping off like just licenses left and right, or like code that's licensed left and right, and not giving a fuck because it's like, well, if they created this anonymous like quote unquote business and anonymous, they're not going to solve, they're not going to go to the state to solve the problems. And I would be all for quote unquote rip offs of some of the stuff. I would love to get into a situation where we aren't. Go into the state to like have businesses be operating, and we can actually kind of solve it. But I guess like the reality of the situation is, like, you know, that's kind of the environment we're all in right now. We have to sort of be defensive. So I don't know. My thoughts have sort of, like, changed over the last few years.
Just to add to that, I think there is a general sort of camaraderie and sort of like morality that comes with all this. There is a difference between you contributing to a cold base and then forking off because you don't like it or because you want to try something different, as opposed to just taking the whole cold base, removing the comments, and starting a company, right? That's what I call a dick move.
Well, that's why my original suggestion is just add to your license that if I clone this and start a company, I'm a dick.
Right? Yeah, the dick clause.
Put a dick clause in there, and they have to keep the dick. It's like a
biometric on the screen.
Clause. So yeah, it has to, but however you want. So like, you know, if they get hacked because they were actually bad at what they're doing, you know, well, it's like, well, it says I'm a dick, right? Right in the license.
You know, funny enough, we actually thought about making a joke license but for real on the product. It's like everyone can use this for commercial purposes, but you.
I love you, beautiful. So I just think, zooming out, like why I like open source so much, I think because we live in a world of so much regulation, like I had this thought the other, like a little shower thought of we have sales tax, right? So every time you want to sell something, so every time you transfer ownership with, you know, paid for by money, there's a tax. That limits all activity where we might want to have a high frequency exchange of goods. Like, I couldn't even imagine, like, why someone is like selling a toaster back and forth, you know, like 1,000 times a second. But that's literally impossible. So I think every regulation has some sort of a hidden cost like that. And I think information cannot be owned. That's a ridiculous concept. And so when we add some state-based enforcement, and now, like, you know, Katy Perry's getting sued for her song because it sounds a little bit like other song. Well, it turns out most of the music I like sounds like other music. Yep. And so now, so we're always, when we're allowing the state to dictate our actions in this way, we're really limiting what is possible. And with code, we're limiting who can be involved, how fast we iterate, who can verify, who can modify, who can sell it. And so I'm just worried about it in that sense. That said, I haven't built a business based on, like a hardware business based on open source code. That is a pretty rare thing right now.
It is. And there is a reason why you don't see open hardware out there, right? It's not like you can just like sit and apply your knowledge and boom, you have a product, right? With hardware, like, you have to buy all this stuff. You have to iterate with all this stuff that has hard costs, right? There's all this overhead that's completely upfront. That's your R&D, right? That you have to recuperate if you want to still exist, right? And if you have unfair competition, right, it's possible that you simply won't exist, right? Because they can undercut you because they haven't spent all the money doing their R&D. So they can technically take that margin out of their product, right? And just go compete with you unfairly.
This is another shower thought. Sorry if I have too many shower thoughts right now. But we had an industrial revolution and we made so many products cheaper and we were kind of ramping up in our civilizational level. And then I don't know what year it was, but we kind of leveled off, and we never got to the point of industrializing industrial.
I think we did. Like, if you look at an iPhone, for all the hate that Apple gets, it is absolutely remarkable what's inside here. Like, this is like a pinnacle of civilization. What's literally done inside this thing? You have one of the most modern computers that exists. You have 17 radios. This thing can talk in any country. Okay, it's just most people just can't understand because it looks like a bar of soap that's shiny on one side, right?
What I'm saying is that we like democratized having servants,
right?
Because we made dishwashers. But we didn't democratize industrial production. Like, it's, they're very, because...
Well, the production we did is the inventing of the things that go into production that hasn't, right? Because you still need a human to invest time, capital, opportunity, cost to go invent something. Like, we don't make cold carts in my house, right? We have a factory that then makes cold carts. It happens that we now, like, have most of the production of the factory. But, like, it really is just us sort of inventing a thing, make it into a thing that can be actually produced in quantity, which is completely different, right? It's not like a Raspberry Pi that like has some stuff on top that like, no, this is like a thing that has access to parts, has access to manufacturing methods, right? That then goes into production and can be sort of like made many times so people can sort of use it in an industrial capacity. And I think like a huge part of the FOSS movement, especially because Stallman was a bit commie, is that that's why I'm more on the MIT side, right? On that sort of discussion, is that people don't understand business. So it pisses me off. I know so many people who are absolutely brilliant, not making money. I want them to make money to make even more brilliant things.
Yeah. But I also think of open source as really as charity. Like, it is a gift you're giving the world, and you're trying to instead of making a product that is just a one-to-one exchange and they get something out of it, you get something out of it. You're giving something to basically everyone all at once.
People are not equal, and charity is not a way of moving society forward. I am a huge fan of charity.
Love charity.
Yeah, so like I love charity on a personal level, right? Like, and helping people that may need. But charity is not how you invent everything. Like, again, I like to use the Apple example because they are as close as it gets, right? Like, it's up to, although they still have real units. But, like, you wouldn't be able to invent, like, a process to make sapphire in scale if it wasn't for Apple.
Well, we also, you know, we can't do space shuttles in scale. You know, that was just like fiat folly, you know, like, yeah, let's do all these ridiculous engineering things that we can do because we're stealing everybody's money. They can do those things because they have sort of a monopoly position.
Well, it's not really. I mean, like, you know, Android copied most of the things that they did successfully, right? So much so that now we have two options, a bar of soap and a bar of soap, right? There is no creativity in phones anymore. We've achieved phone nirvana in terms of design, which is flat screen with some 50 cameras on the other side, right? Because this is what people need, right? Now, all the advancements that they're doing, which are absolutely remarkable, are inside the box.
I don't know that it's exactly what people need. We don't really know what people need because most people can't make what they want themselves. People can't make their own tools, so they have to receive tools from whoever has enough capital to build
it. You know, if you ask a user what he wants, is that meme of Homer Simpson making his car. Remember, like, with all the toaster and the dash and the
kids are in the back, you know, so.
Exactly, right? Users don't know what they want because they don't know what's possible either, right? It's trying to make a business out of open source. And listen, we still have another 50 projects that are all open source, and we contribute to open source, and we fund open source and all the shit. It's just this specific code base has some restrictions, right? It's not simple. Like, and there is very few companies that do it, like, especially on hardware. And, like, I'm trying stuff out. Some things work, some things won't, some things people love, some people, like, hate us. You know, it's like...
So, since the cloner came out, do you think it's significantly hurt CoinKite's business?
No. I mean, you know, I know the numbers because, you know, people talk, but, like, it's not, like, no, it didn't.
So, maybe it would make too much difference to your bottom line if you had a full FOSS license.
So, here's an interesting thing. Since they started... all their users are asking for all the features that we added after the license change. So they haven't introduced any single feature or bug fix since they changed the code. You know, they changed some stuff based on their things, but and their users are asking for the stuff that we added after, and they can't just pull and merge. It's fascinating, isn't it? That they were not capable of doing those things, but they would get those things for free if we change the license. So who knows, maybe if they go out of business, we change the license back.
I think you have like a really, you know, passionate consumer base, and you have a great product. And I think ultimately, even if you did have that FOSS license, I think you guys would continue to strive and prosper.
Probably.
That's all I'll really say on this front.
Well, thanks for liking the product.
But yeah, I mean, I really don't have a problem really with these restrictive licenses in commercial sense, as long as the users really, you know, have the liberty to do with it what they want. More so, I have more problems with people like, you know, falsely advertising their licenses FOSS when they're not. I think you guys did a good job switching in on the website to being source viewable. That's a good step.
You know, I did that just because sort of tired of drama. I still disagree with OSI.
There's some nuance to the debate.
Yeah.
OSS versus FOSS.
Yeah.
What's OSI?
So OSI is this org that claims to be the arbiter of what definitions exist for FOSS, non-FOSS, FOSS. So I think there is I think we lose a lot in this space because it turns off a ton of extremely talented people that are not into the true, like, fully open source thing, the free as in freedom, right, of that license. They would gladly contribute, and their contribution would be massive. There's a lot of people like that are incredibly talented working in a basement somewhere getting paid. They would totally contribute to this if they could have some restrictions. And I think there's a massive difference, right? Because people try to use the FOSS, meaning free open source versus open source, just open source, as a way to sandbag projects that are not free open source. So they say, you know, oh, if you're just source viewable, you're closed source, right? Because they're trying to like gaslight the fact that it is viewable and it is verifiable and it is maybe editable and copyable. Because they may have a competing product, so they want to sort of like create this flame wars around this, and it's such a shame. Because the only people who gain from that is, you know, it's Amazon and Google. Like, I mean, the money that Amazon and Google make from open source software that the devs are not making is monumental. I mean, AWS makes more money than Amazon products. And it's all like essentially FOSS.
Isn't that an argument for GPL over MIT?
No, because GPL wouldn't matter, right?
No, they don't use GPL software because they don't want like a poison pill of needing to contribute back to open source in that situation.
Yeah, so when you have a GPL
like MIT, because they can just rip it and do whatever.
They use a lot of GPL stuff.
When you use a GPL licensed product in your stack, right, the rest of the stack pretty much has to be opened up.
Kind of.
So, like, if someone wants to, you know, perhaps, you know, pull in an open source project into maybe a more greater commercial thing, maybe they're giving out grants, you know, in a lot of cases, they might ask you to move your license from GPL to MIT or at least do, like, a dual licensing thing. That's, like, the big distinction between the two licenses.
Yeah, copyleft gets very complicated very fast. And it gets complicated very fast because people get lawyers involved very fast too, because it's copyleft. Anyways.
Well, I mean, thank you guys for this conversation. I mean, I feel like everyone was pretty fair with it. I was hoping it was going to be juicier.
Wait.
This is not me.
Oh, it's me.
Yeah, you're.
But you know,
can we get a little juicier?
Yeah, can we?
Please? Yeah. So my main problem with open source licenses, okay, number one, misrepresenting what kind of license you really are. That's a really big one. But the other thing that really grinds my gear is when you steal someone's source code. And Rodolfo, this sort of goes to you. This is not about the Trezor license, but rather another project. I feel like you recently took code from, and it's called Bitcoin Bounties. And, and funny enough, the funny thing about this is that we have the guy who started Big
Bang. How do you get in?
No. He's on the panel right here. And I'm going to just set this bomb off and escape for a minute. So, Paul, here, you take over.
Yeah, I mean, he's on Revo. thank you. I did a Revo called Awesome Bitcoin Bounties.
Yeah.
And
we were listed there.
It became hand slipped and
yes.
Commands.
Yeah, 100%.
Command B is
100%.
A beautiful website is a Bitcoin Bounties.org.
And I even asked Paul to maintain it too.
Well, I was so grateful because it. Here's my mindset. This is charity.
Yeah. No, that's a total charity project. We paid for people to develop that site. And, like, here.
And it's beautiful. I love it. No beef with you. But also, it was closed source because I forgot to put a license.
No, I mean, like, it was so bad that, like, the guy literally copied you as the author.
Yeah,
so.
Did
it that bad.
So, I'm just saying that you're currently infringing upon my rights.
Was it different houses?
There was no license on it.
Oh, that is definitely infringing. See, this is how bad licensings are. If there is no license on a project that's out there, you essentially have to infer that it's closed source. But the source is open and it's viewable. It's a clusterfuck.
So, like, what happens, you know, post-hyper-Bitcoinization, post-Bitcoin world, the state's way smaller. Does everyone just use everyone's code? Is copyright?
No. People are going to move back to the old days, which is trade secrets. See, this is, like, a lot of open source people don't understand that, like, the default state of, a business, right, is to protect the value that it created so that it can generate a profit, right? You know, we're all more permissive. We're all trying to build a better world, so we're trying to do these things in an open source way. Sometimes it fails, sometimes it succeeds. But the default place before these licenses was what Mises describes himself as trade secrets, right? So if people cannot find a way to protect all the effort they put in, meaning if they are building something that can be easily sort of like revved up and cloned, is they will just close it. That's kind of what happened to Ledger, by the way. Ledger, way, way back then, was BTC Chip. That was the name of the product. It was actually open. But a bunch of cloners started to show up. Trezor actually changed their license to Microsoft's viewable library only. And then they got so much flack from the community that they then rolled back that commit on GitHub and changed to GPL from MIT. So they themselves are the same thing. It's just, we don't give a fuck. So, like, we're like, okay, we're going to move this to something that we think should be.
I just feel like, what are they so scared of?
What are you
so
scared of?
It's like you write some code and people copy it and do random shit with it.
Well,
you're asking MBK, what is he so scared of?
What are you so scared of?
What are you so scared of? Your position of strength, you have the beloved cold card.
We're going to maintain the position of strength.
But you're asking your mommy government to protect you.
Yes. The same way you're asking your government to make sure your airplane was checked before you flew here. You know, some form of...
I would not abolish the TSA.
No, that's not the TSA, the FAA.
Well, let's abolish them too. We have a low flight frequency because of all this spacing. We don't have flying cover. We have all these regulations that make our flights coming 100 times more expensive than they have to be.
You're preaching to the choir. The problem is we do live in a fiat world.
Yeah.
And as long as we have fiat capital available for somebody to just clone stuff, okay? Because here's what could happen, okay? So let's say it is still subpar, right, the device that a cloner has. But they're very good at sales to VCs. They find, say, 100x capital. They could do exactly what Uber did to the taxi drivers. They can go, they lower the price, they take everybody out of the business. They lower, and then you know what they do after? They raise.
Before Uber and after.
That's just your city. See, like, in my city, now Uber is more expensive than taxi driver. They rug pull, they took half of the taxi drivers out of business, right? And then plane and ferry, right? Because the poor taxi drivers in Toronto don't have a choice. They have to buy that stupid fucking medallion, right? And so they have to charge a lot more. And their price is actually mandated too. It's just like you can't escape the tentacles of the state living in a world that we live in.
The state is designed to have a successful business, you become friends with the state, and you have the state try to
take
your business. And what we need is a lot more reconstruction. We need businesses going down the business all the time, failing all the time, because they're not actually serving people anymore.
How do you put in the VCs in that? Because, see,
screw the VCs.
Yeah, but see, you know,
they're not my side.
Yeah, no, listen, I know some good VCs, but like just in general, the dirty VC, not the good VC, right? It's like you don't live in a vacuum, right? You can still have somebody come and essentially undercut you by giving free product for a year, right? And then you go out of business, right? And then they jack up the price again. Consumers are still fucked. And the consumers now have a worse product. This happens in a lot of industries. This is literally Peter Thiel's like model. It's like you find an industry, right? You break the legs of every competitor. You become a monopoly. And then you go and you jack up the price. So I still don't have an answer on how to handle that model, right? If I find that answer, and that includes having even more permissive licenses, I would. I just don't have an answer.
Abolish the FAA.
Abolish the FAA. I don't know, man. See, if you look at the accident rate on private airplanes, which is still FAA certified, but now the pilots are not as much because it's the dude who flies on Sunday, they fall a lot more than flying commercial.
The FAA is due to the mask mandate.
You know, I struggle with this a little bit because, see, amateur radio, right, is a licensed privilege in pretty much every country, right? Because, you know, with the right gear, you can literally stop all flights within, like, 30 kilometers of your house. And it's like, talk about $200-$300 worth of gear, right? So what they did is they licensed everybody, because at least the people learn how to do it. Like, I hate licenses. I hate the barrier of entry for people to have this thing. But I also don't have a good answer to that. Because
yeah, just ground all the planes. They'll figure it out.
It's
a little bit of a already told on this podcast, but you know the reason we have Wi-Fi is because 2.4 gigahertz
yes.
is not used because our bodies are made of water and water absorbs 2.4 gigahertz. So it's like the shitcoin of spectrum. So nobody wanted it, and so they like, well, what if we tried like to solve all this interference? And they made Wi-Fi. Because it was unreserved.
But you know, 2.4 actually goes through walls, which is quite nice. While the original cordless phones were about 700 to 800 megahertz, right? And that's the same as your microwave. That's why your cordless phone never worked until the microwave was on. and it shows that it leaks. But those didn't go through through walls as well. Spectrum is complicated. But it gets tricky, right? I mean, we do live in complex societies, with very complex. Like infrastructure. Maybe that's a product of government getting their hands in everything. But, you know, I don't also subscribe to the all or nothing either, right? I mean, like, you know, no government, but governance, right? Like, humans still need to organize themselves and find, like, some way around that. And as we invent technologies that have, like, more outsized secondary effects and more externalities, you do have to find ways of you know, dealing with that. It's like, you know, your neighbor not having, you know, fire alarms and you having adjacent walls, right? Do we want to mandate fire alarms? No. Heat hubs could get my house on fire.
Abolish fire alarms.
Anyways.
I mean, at least like fire alarm rags. You can still have your own fire alarm if you want, right?
Oh, somebody could.
So, I mean, we have 20 minutes left. You know, one of the coolest parts about Dispatch to me is audience participation. And obviously, you guys are in the live chat right now. I was kind of thinking about, like, is anyone here interested in Q&A? Is there anyone who has a question who wants to participate? If you do, raise your hand at some point. I see a hand over there.
There is a hand.
Can someone pass them a mic?
Hello, bud.
Thanks, Bob.
So this was a really awesome discussion because I see both sides of the picture. So I guess I'm wondering for Paul, what is your solution to this issue? Like, just open source it, and if somebody copies the code, like, your product, if it's better, will survive? Is that your take on it, or is it just paper?
There's a really good talk on this from
the stage is over there now.
This is awesome. The guy who's making Precursor, which is an open source mobile smartphone, and he's all in on open source hardware. And he gave a TED talk about the difference in the culture between America and China, and how all these like manufacturers in China will publish open source hardware schematics, and the idea is that they're trying to attract business by democratizing the knowledge, and they have a specialty, which is building. So that's not obviously, you know, and so basically you have in the United States, IP heavy, a lot of big innovators, but where do you actually make it? You make it in China. So I think there's something really interesting there, but I think what the big principle is just like, trade secrets if you need them, and don't live in fear. Like, just stop being so afraid.
So this is a fascinating thing. Do you know why China does that? Because China doesn't build software. It only builds the hardware. And the hardware can be reverse engineered. So you take the design, they already know, like, you know, my design goes to a Chinese factory, they can just, like, you know, in 10 minutes remake my board.
Software can be reverse engineered.
Well, yes, but the kind of talent and the kind of culture you need to have to make good software still doesn't exist in China, right? So much so that most of Chinese projects are still have either crappy software, right? I mean, if anybody used DJI drones, right? I mean, it's something, the app that they use. But the hardware is absolutely brilliant, right? So hardware and software are very different. But when you make the whole banana as a company, right, you have both problems and both solutions, right? So it's like, you really try to like straddle a very complicated line there of like, how do you handle this stuff, right? How do you handle competitors? How do you handle the factory trying to copy you? For example, we don't make the stuff in China, mostly for security, but it's not a simple thing. And all the chips, that really is where the magic is, not the PCB and you know, some stupid LC circuit or whatever. Like, the actual chips are fully closed. Licenses.
I worry about that when we have a lot of special magic, and maybe that's an argument against trade secrets, but like, you know, we are, it is not a guarantee that civilization progresses up and we get smarter and we know more and we learn more. It's very easy to lose knowledge civilizationally,
yeah,
and to drift, and if we don't manage to pass along information, because we have to hide it or we protect it so people don't feel like they can look at it.
But that's why, like, I wish we had just, like, better moral compass, because none of this shit would be necessary, right? If people just didn't come and, like, build a business on top of your stuff immediately, you know, we wouldn't have changed our license, right? Or, like, other people would have contributed back. They could have contributed back to our project, right? And then we would not feel morally entitled to do that either, right? That's where the trust and verify part comes in, right? We're still humans and we still need some trust. We still need to like sort of find some cohesion and sort of work together towards things. So we have to trust each other to not be dicks. It's like, don't be a dick really is the best way of handling business. And when people are dicks, you need a solution.
Trust is a scary solution.
Exactly. But Bitcoin is the exact opposite of that, right? Just assume everyone's a dick and it still works.
Exactly, right? Because
that's the beauty.
But also, Bitcoin is also MIT, and it can be embedded in any other thing.
But then also, like, open source software that you can verify is also operating under the same assumption. You don't have to trust that people aren't a dick because you can verify it yourself. Right?
Well, that's the challenge that we straddle, right? Like, we cannot have trade secrets, right? Because then you're going to be able to verify. So, like, it's a very complicated place to be in.
Oh, we got another question from the guy. He's got a mic.
Sweet.
Hey, guys. My name is Michael. I'm a software engineer. Pretty new to the digital space, I'd say, for the past year and a half or so. So, I've worked at several very big companies, tech and non-tech. I've worked at a few small software companies, health tech companies, et cetera. And on this, like, note that you were saying of like having a moral code to some extent, my question is, like, I have witnessed many times people finding closed source codes, code that doesn't have a license, and so it's implicitly closed source, or code that is licensed, right? But then in small and big companies, if their code isn't open source, right? Like, how are they being going to get attacked when what I've witnessed multiple times is these places like just straight ripping the source, refactoring it even to completely like obfuscate the fact that it's being copied and then launch a product on it and like not credit anyone completely unannounced, right? Less of a question and more of like comment that I don't know if like it's being thought about, but I'm just curious like comments on that.
From a libertarian or anarchist perspective, you can't steal information. So in a sense, nobody's being harmed in that act. And that's kind of how I view it. So yeah, they went and copied a bunch of code. And as far as the was it illegal? I mean, that's just a whole mess.
Yeah, so when someone like hit that fork button and started building it out, right, they still are not forking the reputation of the company. They're not forking their customer base. There's a whole other social component to it that, you know, just can't be recreated at the click of a button.
Yeah. Again, it's one of those things that it depends on what the scale and what parts of the system it touches to. You know, we assume that all our new test suite is being used by, say, Cloner, right? But we can't prove it, right? And, you know, they'll probably delete it from their computers if there was ever a concern. And it's, I think I'm a capitalist first, in a sense. I want people who create value to society to be remunerated for the value that's created. I don't like to see brilliant people having to beg for money. And we do live in a fiat world still. So I'd rather they be pragmatic, figure out a way of monetizing their brilliantness so they keep on doing that and adding value to society, right? And, you know, maybe they change the license as the last version went or something. You know, there's no clear answers. But, you know, for as long as we have the money printer, the incentives are malaligned, right? And that malalignment is what causes people to be dicks.
So how does it change post-Bitcoin then? You keep saying, like, we live in a fiat world, we have fiat problems.
For one, you can't just go and build, you know, hardware and then undercut your competitor because you're not going to have access to free capital. Okay. Right? Who's going to give you free capital in a world where the opportunity cost is high?
All right. So, tell me if this is stupid. But, okay. So, as far as licenses go, right now, the state obviously is the open source. But theoretically, in like ANCAP standard, could you have a situation where, like, you have
where
in
Kapistan.
And Kapistan, you know, that libertarian anarchist situation that we're all, maybe not all, but a lot of us are struggling with, right? So in that environment where there's no state, of course, maybe there would be a situation where, like, a hardware manufacturer, a some of you make some chips or whatever. We got a little more chips. They have like some kind of like, not license, but some sort of like agreement between industry players. But like, if you have like a, you know, for lack of a better word, a private license, you know, you can have it so that like, yeah, if you are someone who's gonna clone, right, you cannot buy that hardware from that manufacturer because you're violating, you know, that private license. So you don't need the state to come in, you just don't have access to that hardware because it's a contract.
Ty, what happens though when someone decides to step out of that agreement, you know, the cartel, and says, yo, we're not going to follow that rule? Doesn't that ultimately have to be enforced?
Well, I mean, this is specifically with respect to hardware, right? And let's say that there is a component that a manufacturer produces, you know, that's like specifically like part of this license. You as a cloner cannot attain that piece of hardware because they're not going to sell it because you violated that private license.
So, I mean, if you just start from reality, like a little bit, it's like all hardware is closed. Okay, everything, all your Raspberry Pis are closed source, everything that you have.
It's pound.
It's pound. Every single chip that you have on something, even if the source of it is viewable, it's closed. Okay. All every single block that goes in the die.
Say pawn.
Pound. Pound. I can't do this. It becomes a sort of like LARPing exercise of like which part of the stack is closed, which part of the stack is open. I choose not to live in a LARPing world. Like, I just find it very counter sort of productive in that sense. I rather sort of like try to just like move forward a little bit with the stuff where possible and commercially viable, because, you know, DIY doesn't scale and it's not really as good as most commercial stuff, right? Realistically speaking. So how can we make sure that we have high quality commercial stuff that has some decent values in it, right? And move society forward. So that's sort of like the space I'd rather be in. And then, like, you know, I love the NCAP stuff. I still don't have a lot of answers, and I don't think anybody ever did. And if you read even Mises, like, there is no full answer there to handle, especially modern complex societies.
Well, if we knew, then it'd be an argument for a second plan.
Exactly, right? It's messy. Right, and you just progressively become even more messy as we have less government. You know, governance without central planning, by definition, is decentralized, right? And rough consensus is going to be true on all this stuff.
But we argue that the complexity that gets added without the central planning is worth it, and it outweighs the negatives of the central planning.
It depends on what we consider central planning, and stupid. Like modern government democracy stuff is all like done in bed, but like you can still have, like, say we run a citadel, right? We still gonna have some centralized committees like sort of sorting out stuff because we don't want maybe duplication, right? We don't need more than one podcast.
False.
No, let's see. There is no answer to any of this stuff except from, like, you know, like, you put your ass on the line, you build something, you try to sell it, and then you just handle the market as it comes.
Twitter fact checkers have determined that statement is misleading. Awesome. It doesn't have to be related to
yes,
by the way.
Yeah.
It kind of is, though. So I bought a little part originally because it was an innovative product. The first air gapping that I knew of, and, you know, it was great for all of that. I think that when the cloner that we're thinking of came along, there was a huge demand for like QR signing. And I think that was the main difference in the product. I don't think like it was a clone thing so much as there's a demand for a different type of product. And I think that closing the source and holding back, you know, merges and stuff for security, like, it holds back the space in general. I think that I would have bought another whole car with the QR signing thing, and you would come out with that rather to be competitive. I don't think I would have, you know, gone over to the other thing. But
so,
you said you weren't going to build that, and then you.
Yeah, that's fair.
The source,
that's,
I just think, like,
That's totally fair. You know, I can see how from a user perspective, like, you know, the QR thing is like, it looks like this big thing, right? But that's like 0.3% of the code base, right? The true value of the thing is that we don't lose your money, right? So no, that's totally fine, right? But now, if first of all, there is what Twitter wants, right? Like Twitter says it wants some QR or stuff like that. Like that is not true for the market. Like so much so that, you know, Trezor is still selling a design from 2013 that is unsecure. Ledger sells, Jesus Christ, a gazillion devices, and the device, like, you can barely read the screen, right? So there is sort of like a fake demand for it. It's cool and all, people want to do it.
I don't think people know the demand to the product yourself.
Sure. And here's the thing.
There just isn't, you know, a network share of people that know about it yet. It's clearly way easier than AirDAV and SD cards and just as functional.
Wait, because you haven't lost money on a bad QR yet, right? Or
I mean, like, Spectre is designed to use a particular market scanner so they can, like, infiltrate.
Well, we don't know what's on the other device. No, but it gets complicated, right? So a stack of complexity there. I can appreciate that some people may want that. But, you know, the demand is so low that the Kroner didn't sell even, I think, like half of the devices they had, right? They just gave it away to try to sort of build some like, you know, like influencer demand or whatever, right?
I think if you had, like, not closed the source, that'd be more... building by your future products that innovate in similar ways, but they do an NFC and going that path rather than QR. But I think, like, keeping it more open, like, you gain respect from that because it's not that you're closing it and screwing over some other product that can't decide it alone. It's that you're not afraid of it and you want to move forward.
Yeah, I totally feel that, but, you know, first, we cannot appease everyone, right? Everyone wants something different. You know, we can't make our business decisions based solely on these things because, you know, the world is not fair and people don't act morally and like, you know, they're going to do stupid stuff. So, you know, we may lose a few customers. That was a known sort of like problem with changing that license. And I appreciate that. But you know what actually happened? We actually innovated more, right? We've been continuously adding more features and we actually grew by like almost like 10x. So like the market is rewarding.
Is that code anymore? So
what?
Make other products as well. So like you grew, but the space didn't grow. You cut off.
Well, it did. Like we're gonna learn about Arculus tomorrow.
You're allowed to do that. You're allowed to just not adding doing that, and I think that's totally right. I just think like from perspective of just.
Do you build stuff? Do you build stuff?
Not too much.
No, but like, see, this is the thing. It's very, if you're not shipping a product, right, yourself, it's a lot easier to have opinions like that because you are not the one who actually pays the bills to get a factory to build inventory or to source parts or to develop the stuff, right? I forego opportunity cost to make that happen, right? While you're not shipping it, right? So you're not feeling that pain. And you know, to you, it may seem like a simple sort of like moral understanding of like, you know, like respect versus not whatever, right? And it's fair, right? But it's a very unnuanced view because, again, it's no skin in the game, right? And again, it sucks that we may lose people like you. I'd love to have as a customer, right? Because Mark IV is awesome. But, you know, I really can't appease everybody. And I'm following the market here. And we're trying to make the thing that we actually like, the thing that we want to make.
I just want to say I really appreciate your questions and comments.
Yeah.
We have one more question, and then we got to wrap this baby up.
Hey, guys, can you hear me? Thanks. I had one question mostly. So if it is software, right? I realize that someone else is copying it, they can ship the product very soon. But if it's hardware, someone is cloning it, it's going to take some time for them to go along with the product. Will that not give you an advantage on shipping products first? and getting the more market share. Someone is bombing you, they're not sure if 2 months or 3 months later.
I think like what happened, like just from our perspective, is just a lot of noise and sucking of oxygen based on our sort of work. And, you know, it's just, fuck it. Like, you know what? I'm going to cut you off. If you're going to be a dick with my stuff, I'm going to cut you off. I have no issues with that. I don't see that as a bad thing.
Cheers to that. This has been a great conversation. I'd like to end it with final thoughts. We are closing up on time. Tony, final thoughts. Someone get that man a mic.
It's been
a while.
I'm just here for your pretty face. No, I
accomplished.
Yeah.
You can cut it
to the gym over there. No, I you know, I think there's both sides to it. Such a nuanced discussion. But it wants to bring bingo cards, everyone. But yeah, it's a very dumb issue, but I appreciate everyone jumping on to like kind of keep their thoughts on it.
Awesome, thanks, Tony. Paul, final thoughts.
I work for Voltage, and Voltage is lots of some cool stuff this week, so I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, I just
shipped the OpenStack website.
Let's fucking go. We appreciate your help with that. It's been a long time coming. Final thoughts, Evan.
Looking very much for Coldcard to reverting their license at some point. So in the meantime, I'm still keep supporting, maybe begrudgingly. Run your own node. And download Zeus.
Thanks, Evan. Every day, final thoughts.
Mark 4 is coming out. We have like really oversubscribed reservations. I hope to start shipping it next week. Nobody heard that. The cards are coming out. And anyways, just check our stuff. We keep on innovating, even though it is a complicated license.
Awesome. Thank you, MBK. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I want to thank Ross and the rest of the team that helped put this together. I'm really looking forward to BitDevs. We have food and drink in the back. Help yourself before BitDev starts, which will start in about 25 minutes. I hope to see most of you at the open source stage over the next 3 days. It's absolutely massive at the conference. It was way bigger than I expected. And cheers. I love you all. Stay on the success.
Thank you so much.